Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Sukkot. The new year has started, and this podcast is dedicated to the students at Pardes. We wish them great energy and success in their studies. In the spirit of the season, please consider a donation to Pardes. Your gift of any amount will make a real difference for Pardes. Your gift will directly support the studies of our students and is very much appreciated. You can donate online at any time via www.donate.pardesusa.org. I'll include that web link in the show notes, too. I'm very pleased to welcome Rabbi Levi Cooper as a new commentator to the podcast series. Rabbi Cooper is a member of the Pardes faculty and serves as a director of advanced programs for Pardes. Among his many accomplishments, Rabbi Cooper also writes a weekly column entitled World of the Sages about the Talmud for the Jerusalem Post. You can sign up on the Pardes website to receive his columns by email. I've included the sign-up link on the show notes as well. And now, Rabbi Levi Cooper.
I'd like to start with a passage in the Gemara in Brachot, which I believe that we can understand with the help of a tale from Sukkot. And by juxtaposing the two Talmudic passages, hopefully we can draw some pertinent lesson for our lives. So let's begin with the passage in Brachot. The passage comes from the Talmud, Masechet Brachot, page 28b, Chafchet Amud Bet. This is the last will and testament of Rabbi Eliezer. And the Talmud says, Keshechala Rabbi Eliezer, nichnesu talmidav levakro. When Rabbi Eliezer fell ill, his students entered to visit him. Amrulo, they said to him, Rabbeinu, our master, lamdenu orchot chayim, v'nizke bahem l'chayei ha'olam haba. Teach us the ways of life, and through them, through those ways of life, we will merit the world to come. Amar lahem, Rabbi Eliezer from his sickbed responded, Hizaharu b'chvod chavreichem. Be careful with the honor of your peers. Umanu bnechem min ha-higayon, and prevent your children from higayon. We'll define that term in a moment. V'hoshivum ben birkei talmidei chachamim, and you should place them between the knees of Torah scholars. U'kashatem mitpalalim, du'u lifnei mi atem omdim. And when you pray, know before whom you stand. Ubishvil kach, Rabbi Eliezer concluded, and through this, tizku lechayei haolam haba, you will merit the life of the world to come. This is Rabbi Eliezer's last will and testament, his ethical will that he gives his students, a four-point program to guarantee everlasting life, to guarantee that we will merit the world to come. It's a legacy relating to interpersonal relationships and to our connection with God. When we read the four-point program of Rabbi Eliezer, there was one term that was rather unfamiliar. I'll read it again. Umanu bnechem min ha-higayon. Prevent your children from higayon. What is this higayon that we should steer our children away from? Over the ages, our commentators have offered different explanations of this somewhat obscure term. The earliest attempts to translate higayon refer to the art of rhetoric taught by the Greek sophists of the 5th century BCE. We find this explanation in the writings of Rav Haigon, one of the scholars who lived in Pumpedita in Babylon in the 10th and 11th centuries. Rav Haigon explained, the sophists, they taught that the search for truth was of secondary importance and thus trained their charges with the ability to persuade the masses of whatever they wished them to believe. Such an education prepared the youth for the world of Greek politics, where being clever and smart was often more valuable than being truthful and earnest. Some sophists even claimed that knowledge was unnecessary for the art of forming a cogent argument or offering an unassailable reply. According to this approach, Rabbi Eliezer was discouraging this discipline, which went contrary to the more lofty goals of Torah study. Manu b'neichem min ha'igayon. Prevent your children from learning futile subjects that lack substance, that are only aimed at the art of rhetoric. Later commentators, who were far removed from Greek culture, suggested a different explanation for the term higayon. They said that higayon refers to aspects of the study of Bible, the study of the psukim of the Torah, the verses of Torah. Thus, we find that Rashi, the famous 11th century commentator from France, he explained that Rabbi Eliezer was imploring his students not to overly focus on Bible, which draws the heart. It appears that Rabbi Eliezer was afraid that the attractive literary biblical style would be so inviting that youth would not progress to the more difficult subjects of Torah study, namely the study of Talmud. Indeed, elsewhere the sages declare that the pursuit of Talmud is indeed the loftiest of disciplines, while Bible study is a mere secondary choice, perhaps even a stepping stone towards the distinguished enterprise of discussing and deriving Jewish law. In a similar yet different vein, other commentators suggested that Rabbi Eliezer was warning against also the Bible, but not being drawn to the Bible, rather he was warning against the literal translation of biblical passages, where such a translation would lead to a heretical reading of the text. We find this approach in the writings of two of our medieval scholars, Rabbi Natan of Rome, an 11th century scholar living in Rome, and the Meiri, who was a 13th century scholar in Provence. The above suggestions all try to grasp the meaning of Rabbi Eliezer's statement by seeking the connotation of the key word, higayon. It is possible that we could understand this elusive term were we to look at the legacy of Rabbi Eliezer, and by looking at the legacy, we can thus fathom his message. For this, we turn to another Talmudic passage, which brings us to the tractate Sukkah, page 27b, Daf Chof Zayin Omid Beis. Here, Rabbi Eliezer is adamant that tradition must be faithfully transmitted in an unbroken chain reaching back to Sinai. The passage reads, Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer ששבת בגליל העליון בסוכתו של רבי יוחנן בר אילאי בקיסרי ואמרי לה בקיסריון. The tale is told of Rabbi Eliezer, who was visiting the Upper Galilee and spent Shabbat in the sukkah of Yochanan, the son of Rabbi Eli. והגיעה חמה לסוכה. As the sun's rays reached the edge of the sukkah, the host wanted to prevent discomfort to his distinguished guest, to Rabbi Eliezer. So he asked Rabbi Eliezer, Amarlo, he said to him, Mahu, what is the law? She'efros aleha sadin, may I cover the sukkah with a sheet to prevent the sun's rays coming through the sachach and making Rabbi Eliezer uncomfortable. Rabbi Eliezer, hearing the question, a question of Jewish ritual law, replied cryptically, Amarlo, he said to him, Ein lecha kol shevet v'shevet mi'Yisrael shelo ha'amid mimenu shofet. You will not find any of the tribes of Israel that did not supply a leader during biblical times. The sun, however, continued to spread across the sukkah, and the host, undeterred by the cryptic answer of Rabbi Eliezer, once again inquired about the legality of blocking the sunlight from entering the sukkah. Higia chama lechatzia sukkah. The sun reached half of the sukkah. Amarlo, once again the host turned to Rabbi Eliezer and said, Mahu, she'efros aleha sadin? What is the law? May I cover the sukkah with a sheet? Amarlo, Rabbi Eliezer replied, En lecha kol shevet v'shevet m'Yisrael, shelo yatzu mimenu nevi'im. Again, a puzzling answer. Rabbi Eliezer responded, You will not find any of the tribes of Israel from which prophets did not emerge. Rabbi Eliezer continued, seemingly unconnected to the sukkah question, Shevet Yehuda uvinyamin hemidu melachim al pi nevi'im. The tribes of Judah and Benjamin sired kings who were appointed on the instructions of prophets. As the sun beat down and the rays reached the feet of Rabbi Eliezer, the host, perhaps perplexed with the enigmatic answers offered by his guest, Rabbi Eliezer, took a sheet and of his own volition, of his own initiative, draped it over the sukkah. Let's read the text inside. Higia chama lemargalotav shel Rabbi Eliezer. The sun reached the feet of Rabbi Eliezer. Natal Yochanan sadin ufires aleha. Yochanan, the host, took a sheet and covered the sukkah. Without a word, Rabbi Eliezer took up his cloak and promptly left the sukkah. Hivshil Rabbi Eliezer talito l'achorav v'yatza. Rabbi Eliezer picked up his coat and left. The Talmud explains that Rabbi Eliezer's actions were the result of a perplexing conundrum in which he found himself. On one hand, Rabbi Eliezer, the teacher, did not want his continued presence in the sukkah to be interpreted as an endorsement for covering the sukkah with a sheet. At the same time, he did not want to rule against the sheet, and he replied evasively without clearly vetoing his host's idea because he personally had a rule that he never stated any law that he had not heard from his teachers before him. He would only transmit traditions that he had received. Let's read it inside. Lo mipnei shehifligu bedvarim, ela mipnei shelo amar davar shelo shama mipi rabo leolam. Rabbi Eliezer was not trying to avoid the question. He was merely did not want to say anything that he did not hear from his teachers. Now let us return to our passage that we opened up with, Rabbi Eliezer's last will and testament, and the elusive word higayon. Perhaps we could say, now that we understand Rabbi Eliezer's position that he didn't want to say anything that he hadn't heard previously from his teachers, perhaps we could suggest that Rabbi Eliezer was offering an educational maxim, not to encourage youth to explore higayon, that is, new disciplines that are not rooted in the tradition, or material that has not been passed down from one generation to the next. This approach can be supported by comparing the last bidding of Rabbi Eliezer with the legacies of other sages. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the tractate Avot, Masechet Avot, where the sages offer their advice, their lasting advice that they bequeath to us. In Masechet Avot, we are familiar with the sages offering three aphorisms as their ethical will. Rabbi Eliezer would have been familiar with this passage, which dated back to the end of the Second Temple period. Yet when choosing his passing words, Rabbi Eliezer appears, at least at first blush, to be offering four aphorisms. 1. Consciously honoring peers. 2. Steering youth away from higayon. 3. Raising children amongst Torah scholars. And 4. Knowing before whom we stand. But if we understand higayon to be referring to disciplines that have no Torah basis, then the four statements could be read as the traditional three. The first refers to interpersonal relationships, and the third maxim refers to matters between humans and God. The middle statement relates to passing the legacy to the next generation. With regard to this matter, Rabbi Eliezer suggests that children should be directed away from studies that are not rooted in tradition and instead be guided towards Torah scholars. Through this three-point plan, Rabbi Eliezer suggests, Tizku l'chayei ha'olam haba. You will merit life in the world to come.
Thank you, Rabbi Cooper. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Also, please consider a donation to Pardes. You can donate again via www.donate.pardesusa.org. Thanks very much. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.